The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, don't blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, in order to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have already received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. In praying, don't babble on like the pagans do, who think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not subject us to the final test, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father, who sees what is hidden, will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. A pilgrimage prepares us very well for Lent, because Lent is a pilgrimage. It's a journey. It's a period of change. It's a walk with Jesus. It's a journey with each other. As Pope Benedict used to say in Lent, Lent is not meant to be a tiny course correction in our life, a minuscule tune-up, but something that does for our soul what a pilgrimage like the one we're on does for our sleeping patterns, our gastronomy, our priorities, even our bank accounts. It's in Lent that Jesus himself announces a pilgrimage, not to Rome, but to heaven. And it's on a pilgrimage in Lent that Jesus says, "I will be your guide. Come follow me." And just like my mother has come on this pilgrimage to bring salt and leaven and light, so on the pilgrimage of Lent, Jesus sends his mother to do something far greater. She accompanies us on that pilgrimage. So what I'd like to do today with you is to examine together the four readings that the Church has given us to guide us on this pilgrimage with Christ, but to examine them specifically from a Marian key, so that we can see how this Lent is supposed to be a truly Marian experience. And therefore, allow God to give us the grace so that it'll be the best Lent we've ever had. The first message that's meant to guide this Lenten pilgrimage is given to us by God through the prophet Joel. It announces the fundamental theme of Lent. Return to me with your whole heart, with fasting, weeping, mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return. Lent is fundamentally about the transformation and healing of our heart. Just like a cardiologist sometimes has to tell people that there's a 10% or a 30% or a 90% blockage. So at the beginning of Lent, God tells us that our hearts have a sizable blockage in them, a block to the healing, to the redeeming blood of Jesus that He wants to flow within them, a hardening of our arteries to take His blood into all the extremities and parts of our life. But the divine physician gives us this message not as a prognosis of likely death, but as a prescription for life. When he announces these words through Joel, he's telling us we can be healed, but the way toward our healing begins with surgery. Begins with ripping our hearts open. That's what it means. Rend your hearts. It means to open them up. It means to expose them, to examine them, and to give God the permission to give us a heart transplant. All of salvation history is about this heart transplant. God promises us through Jeremiah and Ezekiel that He is going to rip out our heart of stone and give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that can receive His graces, a heart that can love like He loves us first. And once God's given us that rending, that surgery, that new heart, then He wants us to return to Him with our whole heart, with all our love, with all our affection. That adjective there, whole, is so key for us to grasp in Lent. God doesn't want just a part of us. God doesn't want us to just love Him with 6.8% of our heart, 14.9% of our mind, 46.42% of our strength, and 49% of our soul. God wants it all. He wants to give us His help so that we can love Him with our whole mind, with our whole heart, with all our muscles, physical and spiritual, and with the entire gift of the soul that He's given to us. He wants it pure and clean in all His holy abode. This is totally different from the action that's described in today's gospel verse. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Today the first challenge for us is whether we're going to rend our hearts and return to the Lord with all we've got, or whether we're going to harden our hearts to His offer of healing. And the one who shows us how to love God with our whole heart is Mary. Her heart was pure and saw God and His love in everything. Blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see God. And she saw with the eyes of her heart more clearly than Steve Austin saw with his bionic eyes. Her heart was a receptive heart, treasuring all God had done and said within, so that it would change her, so that it would transmute her, so that that word would take on her own flesh. Hers was an obedient heart, ready to act on God's word. As Pope Francis said this morning in the audience, is done by everyone who is Jesus' mother, brother, and sister. My mother and my brother and my sister are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Mary's was a loving, self-giving heart, pouring itself out with maternal love for others. Her heart had all of these properties because it was united to her son's heart. In the communion hymn we'll sing today, the famous Stabat Mater, we'll be singing as we make the Stations of the Cross throughout Lent, singing on Good Friday. We focus on this union between Mary's heart and her son's. Through her heart, His sorrow shearing, we'll sing. Now at length the sword is passed. That heart is supposed to appeal to our heart. We'll sing, can the human heart refrain from partaking in her pain, in that mother's pain untold? And then we beg her, oh sweet mother, fount of love, touch my spirit from above, make my heart with yours accord. Make me feel as you have felt, make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord. Both in the subjective and the objective sense, with the love for Christ my Lord, and with the love of Christ my Lord as I love others. Mary wants to align our heart to hers and help us share in the fullness of her Son's merciful love. It's the first lesson on this pilgrimage. And it brings us immediately to the second that God gives us today to guide that journey. It's the psalm. We prayed, be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A lot of the times we can be totally mistaken on the starting point of Lent, and we end up getting lost over the last 40 days. We can think that Lent is fundamentally about our ascetical practices, our self-discipline, our action. It's not. Those are important, but they're secondary. Lent is about God's mercy. We turn with confidence to God and say, have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my offense. A clean heart create for me, O God. Renew in me a steadfast, a gutsy, a persevering spirit. Give me once again the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a spirit that wills what you will. On this our journey in Lent, of receiving God's mercy and then becoming as merciful toward others as God is toward us, Mary accompanies us to help us to trust above all in God's mercy. In her famous Magnificat that flowed from her soul and rejoicing spirit, she praised God for having mercy in every generation to those who hold him in awe. And she sang out how God has remembered his mercy always for the house of Israel. Mercy he promised to Abraham and to all his spiritual sons and daughters forever. During Lent, we of course need to say and to mean, we have sinned. We need to call to mind that we have greatly said, not to God by our own grievous fault, but that's not the most important thing. Our sins are not the most important thing. The most important thing is the greatness of God's mercy, which so overwhelms the depth of any human misery. And Mary helps us to ponder that she is our Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She wants to accompany us with that mercy, that true Christian life, that sweetness, and that hope all these 40 days. And that leads to the third message found in today's epistle that guides us in this Lenten journey. It's not enough for us to recognize we need God's mercy and to shout out for it. We need to come get it. St. Paul implores us, as an ambassador of Christ, be reconciled to God. And he implores us not to procrastinate, reminding us that now, that today is the acceptable time and day of salvation. Now, the offer of a brand new start has been given to us. There may not be a tomorrow, and so we seize this day. Like St. Paul, Mary is always appealing and acting as an ambassador, as a missionary, as an emissary, bringing God's message of mercy and asking us to become heralds of this gift as well. What happened in 1531 in Guadalupe? She came down to St. Juan Diego and said, I am your Mother of Mercy, and I'm sending you on this mission. Juan Diego says, you've got to find somebody more important. How is the bishop ever going to listen to me? I'm just a nobody who shuffles, literally, with my head down 15 miles to daily mass each day. Nobody's going to listen to me. She said, there are plenty of other people I could choose. I'm choosing you. Mary comes to us and says, I am your mother of mercy, and I'm choosing you. We know what she did in 1858 to St. Bernadette. She appeared to her on this day, February 18th. In France, today is St. Bernadette's feast day. What did she say? She begged her to pray for the conversion of sinners, to sacrifice for conversion of sinners, to go down into the dirt and dig what seemed to be just a little muddy puddle and wash her face in it as a penance for sinners. And she did. Her whole face was dark because of that mud. Far more than the smudge of ashes will mark our forehead. But Mary wanted her to share in that mission of mercy. And what happened 97 years ago? 98 years ago. She appeared to the three little shepherd children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Luzia, saying, please pray, please mortify yourself, please sacrifice yourself for the conversion of sinners. It was there that she asked all of us through those children to consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart rather than continue with hardened hearts. She, echoing St. Paul's appeal, says to us here today in the most famous church ever dedicated to her, be reconciled to God. Take advantage of my son's offer. Don't wait another day. The Lenten pilgrimage that we make involves frequent stops in the sacrament of penance. Otherwise, it's not really a Christian pilgrimage. So please make the resolution not just to go to confession once in Lent, but often in Lent. And the fourth and last lesson is how to leave out this change of heart, this rending and returning, this dwelling in God's mercy, this seizing. It involves learning how to live out this change of heart, this rending and returning, this dwelling in the Lord's mercy, this seizing the acceptable time and day of salvation. We do that daily through the practices Jesus describes in today's gospel when he teaches us how to pray, how to fast, and how to obey. These practices seek to recalibrate, respectively, our relationship with God through prayer, our relationship with our appetites through fasting, and our relationship with others through almsgiving. Jesus says, when you pray, because he wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray not so that others will notice, but he wants us to pray just like Jesus prayed, for the Father's glory, and so that we could listen to the Father, so that the Father's will could be done in us. Who's a better teacher about that type of prayer than the Blessed Virgin, our mother? Her great prayer is, Fiat mi, secundum verbum tuum. Let it be done to me as you will, as your word is. She teaches us that perseverance in prayer, even when things go most difficult, as she was still praying at the foot of the cross. She's the one who teaches us how to pray the Mass. How awed she must have been when St. John and the other apostles placed into her mouth the same Jesus whom the Holy Spirit had decades before placed into her womb. Who best can teach us how to pray the stations during Lent than Mary, who followed Jesus along the Via Crucis with an immaculate heart? Mary wants to help us to pray differently than the rest. She never blew a trumpet before her. She never did it for show. She did it in that inner room of her heart. When we hear about inner room, a lot of the times we think of closet. In the ancient Jewish houses, that's where their safe would be. There were no locked doors on the outside of most houses. But inside their house, there'd be a place that would be locked. It would be where all the valuables, all the treasures would be kept. Jesus was saying, go to where your treasure is and meet God right there. Make sure he's your treasure. And Mary shows us how to do that in private prayer, which should increase in quality and quantity during Lent, through the prayer of the Mass, the prayer of the stations, all the Lenten flavors. Second practice Jesus tells us to do is when you fast. Fast isn't optional for a Christian, for a follower of Jesus. Please don't think that the Lenten fast is really just today and Good Friday. No athlete would practice two times in 46 days. We're never going to share fully in Christ's victory unless we live a fast that's greater than that. What's the ultimate purpose of our fasting? To fast is to learn how to hunger for what God hungers for. It's to get hungry for what God is starving for. And what is God starving for? All of us. In our entirety. And that's what our fasting's meant to do. Mary's fasting did just this in her. She cried out in her Magnificat that you have filled the hungry with good things. In order to be filled with the good things God wants to give us, we have to be hungry for them. Otherwise, we won't appreciate them. Do we have that same Marian hunger? Jesus said, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for holiness. And Mary hungered to be right with God in that way. We will likewise be blessed if we have that same holy hunger. And when we have that hunger for what God hungers, we'll become more aware of those with physical hungers and those with spiritual hungers, so that we can go out with all that God has provided us to feed a starving world. Third is almsgiving. Jesus says, when you give alms, and here in Rome we've got plenty of opportunity to give alms, we might not have the same chance back home. And some of the poor people here need what's in our wallets far more than we need another gift to be able to give to somebody else. So please take advantage of that opportunity. But the real almsgiving that God wants of us is not of our stuff, not of the things we have. He wants us. We'll have a chance to sing tomorrow, when I survey the wondrous cross on which my Savior died. My richest things I count for loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And that last verse, the most beautiful verse ever written in English in any hymn, were the whole realm of nature mine, would be an offering far too small. For love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all. No one teaches us better how to love like that than the Blessed Virgin. She gave her entire self to God and put herself in His plans. But she didn't stop there. She gave herself to us and for our salvation, taking us with all our issues under her mantle as her son was dying, to continue to love us the same way she loved him to the end. That's why we're here, to begin Lent. Jesus invites us to join a pilgrimage with his Holy Mother, to guide us with hope, to guide us with sweetness, to guide us with life, all the way to the end of this Lenten journey toward the heavenly Easter. And Mary also helps us to grasp the ashes we're going to receive. We recognize that we take on these ashes, we remember our death, that we're dust and unto dust we shall return. But we also remember that we're not just dust. God has breathed into us a soul. And nobody shows us how to treasure that soul more than she. A soul that magnifies the Lord in everything she is. So she's praying that as we have this dust, we will remember more and more that soul. But also, she helps us to grasp the other message that we will hear when ashes are imposed. Repent and believe in the gospel. How to turn around from anything that isn't laser beamed on the Lord, and to believe and entrust ourselves to the gospel incarnate who took on her flesh and dwelled within her womb among us. And then we'll take on our flesh as we receive his own, and it's meant to dwell within us. She is the one who totally believed in the good news. And to journey with her along the path of Christian life, following and loving God, is the way that we're going to learn how to love him with our whole heart, how we can magnify his mercy, how we can seize the acceptable gift of time and come to that holy place that Christ won for us by his prayer, his fasting, and his almsgiving. That place in which Mary is seated on his throne. Mother of Mercy, pray for us.